Welcome, welcome to the second episode of Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast. It's great of you to join us. I am Chuck Champion, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chale Pistolas. Give it up for Chale Pistolas. Welcome, Mr. Pistolas. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mr. Champion. I'm doing just fantastic. It's just another Tuesday, and here we are once again. And this time, it's we've got a lot going on today. But I want to thank you for having me on the show, and thank everybody for joining us, and let's have a good time.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And yeah, we do have man. What an interesting, just a bizarre game. as I was telling you pre-show, I managed to fall asleep during the first. I got a little bit too comfortable. after a big breakfast, I got a little bit too comfortable in the old recliner and managed to fall asleep during the first. So, yeah, I woke up during the second, man. It was a nightmare.
A nightmare, man.
It was 20. I woke up to a nightmare. I mean, it was just a nightmare. It was terrible. 20 to nothing. I'm like, holy shit, what's going on here? So, tell me about what we missed in the first. What did I miss in the first? Let's talk about that.
Nothing but a one-sided game.
Fumble, turnover.
Oh, it was just miserable. A miserable first quarter. Probably the worst first quarter Dallas has ever experienced. I'm not real sure it wasn't in the top five at least. Maybe even the number one.
20 to nothing.
Champion. It was a disastrous moves all the way around. Horrible play calling. Every drive we tried. I mean, we fumbled. It was crazy. Craziness.
The game picked up
for sure
from there.
We were in for a hell of a ride, and definitely did not anticipate the outcome that came out of this game.
Man, remarkable.
Yes, it was something else.
Indeed, it was. So the game picked up. It went on. The Cowboys managed to put up 9 points in the second, the Falcons put up 9 points in the second, whereas the Cowboys managed to put up 10. And then we went into halftime, which there's a little story out there about halftime. We come back in the third, and the Cowboys racked up 14 in the third. Managed to hold down the Falcons to 0 points. And then in the fourth, they outscored the Falcons just enough to get by there at the end in a 39 to 40 victory. Holy shit.
Who would have thought after being down 20 to 0 in the first? 20 unanswered points in the first quarter. Unbelievable. I mean, it was just, you know, but you got to give the boys credit. They hung in there all the way through. When you look at it statistic-wise, you know, if we'd have had a better first quarter, it would have been blown away. It would have been a one-sided game.
Yeah, the first quarter certainly could have been the whole story of this game. And now, don't get me wrong. You know, it's still very problematic for the Dallas Cowboys after the display that they had out there in that first quarter. I mean, there's problems everywhere that need to be looked into and resolved, certainly. However, they did manage to pull off a miracle, just an awesome comeback that actually shows, you know, it shows that we have some good men out there. They kept their poise, and they, you know, when it mattered most, they delivered in the clutch, and they shined through. The statistics of the game, the total yards, Dallas Cowboys 570. To the Falcons, 380. Passing yards, Atlanta had 267 passing yards, whereas Prescott always had 445. And in rushing, it was pretty somewhat even. Let's see, 113 for the Falcons and 125 for the Cowboys. Yards per play, 7 yards per play for the Cowboys, and 5.3 for the Falcons. So definitely in the favor of the Cowboys, the statistics, all the way around. First downs, 33 first downs for Dallas, 22 first downs for the Falcons. Now, third down efficiency, 7 for 13 Dallas, and 8 for 17 for Atlanta. And that's one of the things that Dallas needs to work on. They need to convert on these third downs. Fourth down efficiency, of course, we were 0 for 2, and that was problematic there. 2 for 2 on the Falcons on that, and we each allowed one sack. The total number of plays, 81 for the Cowboys versus 72 for the Falcons and whatnot. Let's see, the penalties, 7 for 75 Dallas, 8 for 51 on the Falcons. And, of course, we lost 3 fumbles. Man, 3 fumbles. Whereas the Falcons lost none, and they also threw for no interceptions, and we also matched them on that and had no interceptions as well. Time of possession, Atlanta, man, they had the ball 33 minutes and 48 seconds, whereas the Cowboys possessed the ball 26 minutes and 12 seconds. Now, check this out, man. For having the least amount of time on the field, They racked up some yardage, man. 570 yards total. 445 in the air. I mean, that's just massive. Massive. Your thoughts on the yardage and the stats also, Mr.
Well,
Tell a different
story. If we hadn't had that horrific first quarter, Chuck Champion, there's no telling how many yards we could have racked up, or would we have racked up this many if we hadn't been under pressure. So, it's a double-edged sword here. I'm thinking that when you look at the stats, Dallas played a pretty darn good game. Okay, up until the end. Now, the beginning was just disastrous, of course, as we know. But even then, if you look at the time of possession and talking to and listening to you speak right now, you know, you're looking at a little over 7 minutes in possession, which obviously all took place in the first quarter. They had more possession and more time of possession in the first quarter than we did, definitely. And had it not been for that, for the disaster start, we could have been you could have seen some different stats here. And there's no telling how high they would have gone. Definitely the score, because if you look at the score, we're 1 point shy of 80 points combined. That's a hell of a game. And so if we were looking at a better first quarter, and we could have racked up another at least one touchdown, you know, it could have been almost 90 points. And the stats, I think, speak for themselves. They got a late start. Now, we did have a lot of obstacles, obviously. We're able to pull it off. And the stats, I hadn't really looked at them till you sent them to me here. And the stats show that the boys didn't quit. They kept going and going, and it paid off, obviously. But that's my take on it. I think it just goes to show that if you just keep your composure, keep pushing, you might end up in a good result, and I think it just shocked America. The finish was just unbelievable.
Indeed, it was. Let's see, and so we had interesting there. Let's see here. Why do you suppose this has been nagging at me? Why do you suppose the Cowboys went for it? They went for two when they were down 9 points against the Falcons. What do you think there at the end.
The rationale is behind that?
Yeah, what
Chuck Champion, I've been asking myself that ever since it happened. I definitely almost – I actually backed up and chugged a beer and took a shot over that one. Because I couldn't believe it. Why would you ever do that? And I just don't see the rationale behind it. Even right now, even with the victory – with a win, I don't understand the rationale behind it, and maybe I don't have my coaching hat on today, but I could not see any good come out of that, and we were fortunate that we were able to pull it off, but I don't believe that was the right call at all. As a matter of fact, I'm disappointed that call was even made. I'm wondering whether that call was our was done by our offensive coordinator, or if it was done by by our head coach. I just can't see the rationale behind it. I haven't been able to put it together. I don't have an answer for you, Chuck Champion, because I don't believe it was the right call.
According to ESPN, Mike McCarthy and company made this decision based on knowledge. The Cowboys knew at the very least that they needed to score two touchdowns and convert a two-point conversion to tie the game. So instead of delaying the decision on the inevitable two-point attempt, it was better to know what they needed to try to win the game. And so that was the rationale that they had going into that, because the two-point attempt's result was already known. Dallas had the knowledge that it would need more than another touchdown. So it pulled within 2 points of Atlanta with a touchdown drive just inside the two-minute warning. And of course,
right.
Prescott and the offense, they scored fast, taking only 1:08 to reach the end zone. And that's what was the key right there, because they were able to leave enough time for an onside kick and, of course, the subsequent field goal drive that ended up ultimately winning the game for them. Now, I mean, the thing is that we needed a lot of things to happen there in order for that scenario to play out. But indeed, it happened. So, I mean, it's just, you know, here's an interesting stat, though. There was a number going around. Yeah, 400, let's see here. 400 times this has happened. 440. Okay. Here's an interesting, very interesting stat that I don't know if you've heard, but something happened in this game that like made history. They did something that no team had done in 87 years. Okay. And of course, you know, we would have lost this game under Garrett.
Oh,
we would have lost this game under Garrett.
Know, and that, I have a segment on that in a little bit, but go ahead.
Oh, hell. And so they were down, you know. Here's the thing. In past years, those types of deficits have become frustrating losses, especially for Garrett. We already know this. And Sunday, it was a familiar feeling when we got to the end there. I mean, it's like, holy shit. You know, they're going to it up somehow, something's going to go wrong. And, you know, they had three lost fumbles, two failed fake punts at that point. I mean, everything was going wrong on special teams and shit. So why would we think that we would be able to pull this off? But here's the thing, man. Since 1933, no team has lost a game after scoring 39 points and surrendering zero turnovers. In that 87-year span, teams rolled up on a 440-0 record. Okay, how in the hell are you gonna be that one team? Because it's now 440-1, baby. The Falcons are now the sole team. Oh my gosh.
Oh. Yeah. They are the sole team to lose after being
39 points and no turnovers, and they led the whole game. They led the whole game.
The whole game.
I mean, the Cowboys did not lead that 1 second.
We led the game the last second.
Oh shit, man!
It was just something else. You know, I'm reading something that I think we. I should share with everyone right now, Chuck Champion. I'm reading from some headlines from CBS, NFL, and it says the Dallas Cowboys should send an apology letter to any fan subjected to the misery that was their first quarter against the visiting Atlanta Falcons. They returned to sender after they pulled out a thrilling 40-39 victory to spoil the upset. Very well said.
Oh,
you know.
Yes.
I really need. I'm upset. I think I need a letter of apology from someone, Chuck Champion, because that first quarter was just miserable.
I'm glad I slept through it. I'm glad I slept
yes,
through it, man.
You were very. If not, I'm not real sure we wouldn't be dealing with a cardiac arrest situation.
Oh, hell. Making arrangements. Oh, my God.
You know, because I came very close to just dropping right there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. But according to McCarthy now, he had them right where he wanted them. He said at halftime, we need to be here. We need to be right where we are. This is what Prescott told the reporters after the win. He said, the final score didn't matter as much as finding out the type of men that we have, the type of fight we have within this team. And so, you know, this does quite a bit for that, because from now on, they're going to be able to go back and say, you remember what you did against Atlanta? Let's do that again right now. So it worked out good. There's a crazy backstory, though. I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No. I was agreeing with you. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and if that was his methodology, you know, he's surprising me. And that theory there could, well, it's going to be subject to be proven, but pretty good theory.
Yeah, and we'll see how he does. I mean, he's trying to wipe that stench off from that first game, obviously. And yeah, I think he did a good job there at the end putting it all together. It was definitely one for the books, man. That ending was definitely one for the books. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Pistolas, why don't we take a break right now and we come back. I've got an interesting story about the whole kick and how that thing came about. And believe it or not, this has been worked on for some time. So we'll get into that when we come back right here on the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast with Chuck Champion and Charlie Pistolas. We'll be right back.
All my exes live in Texas, and Texas is a place I dearly love to be. But all
So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about Bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amont, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Philly Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, returning this week only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local listings.
Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates, and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network.
Crash Down with Albert Sexton, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. I am Chuck Champion, and I'm with Chale Pistolas, and we're having a conversation about our precious Dallas Cowboys. That's right, Mr. Pistolas. Still with us, everybody?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah. He's wiped the stench off a little bit. He's trying to wipe that stench off from last week, man. There was a lot of bitter people last week, including myself. And I think you were a little bitter, too, last week.
I was very bitter, you know, and I was even more bitter during the first quarter of this game there, Chuck Champion, but I'm a lot better now.
Good to hear.
I'm a lot better now, and And I'm just excited about our next upcoming game here.
Oh, man, and we're going to go over that a little bit. We're going to touch on it here in a little bit. But first, I've got a backstory behind the Cowboys' unusual and unlikely onside kick. This is an incredible story.
I'm all ears.
During halftime, McCarthy could have used the 10 minutes he had to unload on the players. No one would have blamed him. I mean, they had a shitty half already with 0-1, and then three lost fumbles, a fouled up fake punt. They went 2 of 6 on third down, and they allowed two of the most wide open touchdown passes that you'll ever see. So he could have laid in on them at halftime, but instead he kept his cool, man. He calmly told his players that they needed to do two things over the last 30 minutes. They needed to take care of the ball better, and they needed to steal a possession. And so, of course, they ended up doing both of those things. But explaining how they got to the latter is what's very interesting. The backstory of McCarthy, in case you don't know, the year after he got fired from Green Bay, he spent that whole year, he built a freaking barn in his ranch in Green Bay, right, wherever, over there in, cow country. He built a freaking barn where he hired some coaches, other coaches that were not working at the time, over there and watched tape with him. He even installed a field and whatnot. And, I mean, he went all out. He built himself a complex so that he could study to prepare himself for his next job. Okay, so having done that, while he was doing that, he studied. In 2019, the Rams special teams coach John Fossil, he tried an onside kick that it was something weird. It was funky. It was a drop kick that froze the hands of the team and sent the knuckler their way off of a high bounce, and of course it was subsequently from the lead. And so then they ended up working a different way around it. It was John Fossil and the kicker Greg Zuerlein, okay, who is now Cowboy. And also, it's interesting to note that Fossil is also a Cowboy. So them, along with Johnny Hecker, who was the punter over there in L.A., they devised a new way to come up with the hands team to think quickly, to force them to think quickly. And the idea was to tee up the ball at a 45-degree angle and boot the front tip of it so that it would spin back to front to cover the 10 yards it needed to go before the kicking team could legally recover it, but cover that same 10 yards as slow as possible. And I must have seen that play, dude. Man, I must have seen that play at least 50 times. They're standing around looking pathetic. They don't know what to do. Clearly, they were not coached for this situation. They don't know the rules even. The ball is a live ball for the receiving team, no matter what. Yeah. And they were standing around waiting for it to go 10 yards like a bunch of ignoramuses. How pissed off do you think their special teams coach is at that? Holy crap. I would have had a heart attack right there, man. shit. But nevertheless, I digress. So the logic then went that the hands team would have, had to decide whether to charge the ball and touching it, but not covering it, making it a live ball, or let it go the 10 yards with the kicking team around it, making it a 50-50 ball. And so they started doing this. They kept on practicing this the whole time, and they practiced it and practiced it. Eventually, they were having competitions with each other. And in week 15 of last year, Hecker won the competition, and that was the punter, and he ended up having to do that play, so he did it when the Rams behind in Dallas after L.A. scored a touchdown to cut the Cowboys' lead to 37-15. Fossil decided to give it a shot, so Hecker got his swing at it, but the ball trickled out of bounds. So a few weeks later, Fossil ended up leaving the Rams, and Zuerlein ended up following him to Dallas, and here we are again. And so they thought, what the hell, why not do it again? 9 months later, same field. In the same field, just with different teams. They're no longer Rams. Now they're Cowboys. So that's how McCarthy would end up stealing that possession that he needed there at the very end to turn the game around. I mean, that is just amazing. I mean, you know, we came back from deficits 20 to nothing, 26 to 7, 29 to 10, and 39 to 24. And in fact, it took 450 yards from Dak Prescott, 100 yard gains from CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, and just a great game from Ezekiel Elliott as well. But until the fourth quarter, at least, the Atlanta offense, they didn't stop moving the ball until the fourth quarter. I mean, even though they scored this third, they were still moving the ball. And that ended up making McCarthy's words prophetic, because there they were. They needed to steal a possession. And after Prescott injured a nine-play, 76-yard drive to cut Atlanta's lead to 39-37, McCarthy called on Fossil to do it, baby. With 1:29 left, the Cowboys were out of timeouts, too. I mean, this had to work. If Dallas couldn't recover the onside kick, Brian was going to go in there. It was going to be victory on one or whatever, three times in a row. And then that was it. They were going to go into Seattle at 0-2. Instead, we're going in 1-1 to face the 2-2 Seahawks. And here we are. Mr. Pistolas, your thoughts on that story and everything we had to overcome to get it done?
Well, well, I'll tell you what, Chuck Champion, let me start off by the kick and talking to you. And that was a great story, by the way. I had no idea on the background of this, but obviously it worked. And, you know, one word comes to my mind here in while you were talking about this one crazy and very, very bravely play that was done, and the confusion and the the chaos around the ball was something to be reckoned with. But my one word that comes to mind is hesitation.
Yes.
You know, the Falcons hesitated. You know, they got away from the ball. It was almost like they were scared of the ball. Okay? Mm-hmm. And hesitation certainly proved in this event to be a costly act. Okay, and it can be a costly act in many different situations, from taking a shot to taking a shit. Okay, if you hesitate, it can be very costly, Chuck Champion. So obviously, they hesitated, and I can't understand why, but it was very effective. And let me go on to talk a little bit more about certainly some of the strategic behind it that I saw was that if you did notice, Chuck Champion, if you watched it as many times as I did, and obviously you watched it even more, it was very carefully planned, and it went away from the Falcons bench, which, you know, the coaches were screaming, somebody lay on the damn ball. You know, grab the ball. It's a live ball the minute it comes off for the receiving team. So
right.
They could have grabbed it at any time, but it was very well planned, excellently executed, okay, to go away from the Falcons' bench. And the noise level, even though there was only 20,000 fans in the audience, but the noise level and the Cowboys were making as well was just very well planned. Okay, so it obviously paid off, and it was very well practiced. How he puts that little spin on it is amazing to me to begin with. But
right.
The hesitation part that it created, I mean, if you look at it over and over, it was almost like they just let it go 10 yards and then let a Cowboy lay on it. It was just it was confusion all the way around. But the one word that comes to my mind, even in our military, if we hesitate, we lose. Okay, and that is the Falcons hesitated to act in that situation, and it ended up costing them the game. And there's no other word other than the hesitation. If they hesitate again, they will lose again, Chuck Champion. And that's my take on that one play. My other thing that I wanted to add was, and you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, almost a perfect game by Ezekiel Elliott. He was unstoppable. He just refused to go down. He refused, even though he had a fumble. I mean, he had some problems, but he just was a monster back then. He came out and he ran the ball, and it reminded me, some college ball that I used to see in a game where one player, I believe it was a Texas game, took the game in his own hands and ended up winning it. And I was like, you know, Ezekiel was not going to go. He was not going to go away into the good night. He was going to put up a heck of a fight as he did. And I believe it paid off. So those are my thoughts.
22 carries for 89 yards, averaging 4.4 yards a carry with one touchdown. And then in the air, 6 for 33, averaging 5.5. So, yeah, he had a hell of a game, man. Hell of a game. Great contribution.
He had a hell of a game. You know, anytime a running back touches the ball and is averaging 4 yards per carry, outstanding.
Yes.
And I just believe that Ezekiel Elliott came out and he had his mind made up. And he just executed beautifully, and he did not hesitate, and that helped us a lot.
And Dak Prescott also spreading the ball around. CeeDee Lamb, 6 receptions for 106 yards with a great day, 17.7 average, no touchdowns. Amari Cooper also with a 100-yard day, 6 receptions for 100 yards, 16.7. average. And Dalton Schultz, 9 receptions for 88 yards, 9.8 averaging with one touchdown. Michael Gallup, 2 for 58, and Blake Bell, 2 for 34, and of course Ezekiel Elliott, 6 for 33, spreading the ball around. Noah Brown, 2 for 28, and Tony Pollard, 1 for 3. So, yeah, the Cowboys are spreading the ball around, man. They've got some weapons. Dalton Schultz, 9 for 88. That's certainly good for a tight end. Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, both with 100-yard days. We're going to need this going next week against Russell Wilson and company.
Russell Wilson, you know, is known for his aerial moves, for lack of better words.
But, his comeback, his everything.
So, yes.
Yeah, that guy is very impressive. So we're going to have to put up the same type of points, man. We're going to have to put up the same type of points because Russell Wilson is going to put up his 40. They've got probably the best-ranked offense right now. I'm not sure. I didn't look up those stats, but they look pretty darn good against the Sunday night, whoever they played against, the Patriots. They look pretty darn good in that game. That was a great game, actually. But, yeah, we've got injuries. Tyron Smith, week 3, looks like he's going to be out probably with a neck injury. He had a neck injury against the Falcons, so we'll see how it goes. They're saying he has a great shot at playing this week, so we'll see. But they're going to go game time decision on that. DeMarcus Lawrence played limited snaps in the second half of Sunday's comeback due to a right knee injury that he sustained in the first. So he will be reevaluated coming up soon, and we'll see. Awuzie also had a hamstring injury, a punt block attempt in the fourth, and he was also out of the game. So we'll see what happened there with him. Gallup, is feeling good right now, so we'll see. And yeah, we still got some other guys that are out. And man, dude, we have got to do something on defense. We've got some holes on defense that we need to fill. But I don't know what I don't know what they're doing. I just don't know what they're doing. There's some people that are available that still come in and and do us some good. But they're not moving on him. Earl Thomas is still out there. I don't know that they would want Earl Thomas, but he's there. Cordy Glenn, outside tackle, is also available. Todd Davis, outside linebacker, is available. Jabal Sheard, outside linebacker and defensive end, is also available on free agency. So we've got some people. A lot of these free agency players, though, they want. They're not even playing on a team right now, and they're still available, yet they still want maximum money. I mean, at some point, they need to just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put Cam Newton, go out there and prove myself. Because Cam Newton, they got him for cheap. You know, at some point, you just got to say, hey, man, put the ego down and go prove yourself, prove your worth, prove your salt, and then, and then get the contract. Your thoughts on free agency?
Well, I think they just need to prove themselves. Free agency, I have my own thoughts on that, Chuck Champion, but I'm not against it. They just got to be able to prove themselves and work hard.
At this point in the season,
at the end of the day, they're their own promoter. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because at this point in the season, they're not playing for anybody. They're just out there available.
No.
I mean, at some point, you just got to say, hey, you know what? It's time for me to just drop my price. Let me go, let me go get some statistics under my belt and see what gives.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
I like free agency. I'm not against it, but I think there comes a time when you just have to tell them, look, we need to throw some money at you. Or you need to go away, or there's a time and a place for it, and it might be the time right now for us to consider making some free agents permanent.
Indeed, and I'll tell you what time it is. It's also time for us to wrap this up, and I'll tell you what, man, hell of a game, hell of a finish. I really thought we were going to lose, and I should have known better. I should have known better. We were playing the Falcons. I should have known they would have found a way to fuck it up at the end. And they did for themselves, just as they did the Super Bowl.
Leave it to the Falcons to figure out how to escape with a loss.
Oh, that had to be a horrible plane ride home. Just a horrible plane ride home.
Oh, my goodness.
Where, I mean, we could have been that. We could have had that same, it could have been us losing, and man, I'm just glad that we didn't. We're going in 1-1 against Seattle, Russell Wilson. That's going to be Sunday afternoon, an afternoon game. And we've got some great weather here in Houston where I'll be at. And so we'll see what brings about. I'm thinking about maybe throwing some carne asada on the ground.
Yes.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. On the podcast, and you got any final words?
Well, I do. Just to close out is despite our start, despite the injuries, despite the missing key people, and despite the start that the Falcons had, and the four fumbles in the first quarter. Despite all that, none of that mattered one iota, Chuck Champion. At the end, the score was 40-39. The boys going home in a victory.
So indeed,
it just goes to show where perseverance and desire can bring to a good team. So I'm excited about this next game, Chuck Champion. Thank you for having me on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Pizzola. Thank you so much for joining us on the Puro Pincha Cowboys podcast. It was so great of you to join us. And also, you can catch up with our other shows on demand. They're available on demand in the archives of the World Generation Podcast Network. So check that out, World Generation Podcast Network blogtalkradio.com/World Generation Podcast. So check that out. And also check out Mod Snap Radio tomorrow night, Live in the Staunch, 9 o'clock. Check that out for some great stuff there. And coming up next, Fatal 4-Way Radio starts here in a few minutes, 20 minutes or so. Stay tuned for that with Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister and Albert Inspected, and the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly. So, yeah, check that out coming up next right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. And also stay tuned. Friday is the return of Full Tilt Boogie. Of course, they started up a couple of weeks ago, and they decided that they were going to do the show on Friday instead of Saturday. So they return this Friday, the Full Tilt Boogie with Chuck Amok, Bad Bitch Crystal, and also the Watchdog Christian from Philly. So check that out Friday night, 10 p.m. on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am Chuck Champion from the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. It was great of you to join us. I'm reminding you to keep real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy, baby. Peace.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.